The sermon you are about to hear was preached by Dr. Bob Gray Sr. from the pulpit of Longview Baptist Temple, where he pastored the greatest soul-winning church of our time for over 29 years. Through the course of his ministry, over 1 million souls were led to Christ. And now, here is Dr. Bob Gray Sr.
I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, are you a candidate for a miracle? Are you a candidate for a miracle? I hope that you'll listen carefully this morning. I want you to look at our text verse where he said, Lord, I believe. I want you to circle the word believe. That's head and heart. Lord, I believe. I believe in my mind, I believe it. In my heart, I believe it. Then I want you to circle the word unbelief. Now, when he talks about help thou mine unbelief, he's talking about actions. I want you to write actions down. He said, Lord, I believe. In my mind, I know you're the Savior. In my mind and my heart, I know what you can do. But help thou mine unbelief or my actions. That's why you come to the story of the feeding of the 5,000 and you find not just I believe, but you find action. And so I want to talk to you about this, and I want you to listen carefully. Are you a candidate for a miracle? And let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, help me to help this morning. I want to be a blessing. I want to help. I want folks in this auditorium to realize you are a wonderful God. You're a miraculous working God. And God, today, we don't deserve it, but we come to you as your child, and you said you'd not give a stone for bread. And so we come this morning asking for your help. Holy Ghost of God, talk to us now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. This morning, I know 20 folks in this auditorium who are in need of a miracle. In fact, I believe that there are probably many, many major needs in this auditorium today. Health problems, financial problems, family problems, emotional problems, marital problems, mother-in-law problems. There are people in this auditorium who cried themselves to sleep last night. And sometimes I think we don't weep when others weep, and we should. There are people in this auditorium who wept this morning before coming to church. There are folks who have a broken heart right now, folks that are hurting right now, folks who will toss and turn tonight as they did last night with many, multiple problems in their life probably. I know there are ladies in this auditorium who are raising their children alone. Husbands have left them. Those who haven't enough food to feed their children or enough money to pay the rent and are struggling and want to get the clothes that their children need, but they're hurting. By the way, don't come to me and say you don't believe in miracles, because your very existence is a miracle. How many are saved on your way to heaven? Well, you ought to shout praise God, because that's a supernatural birth that takes place in your soul. God should have stuffed every one of us into hell because of our sin. Preacher, do you believe Joshua made the sun stand still? In Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 and 13? Yep. You say, why? Because the Bible says so. Do you believe the axe head swam in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 6? Yes. Why? Because the Bible says so. Say, do you believe that Elijah was carried into heaven by a chariot in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11? Yep. You say, why? Because the Bible says so. Do you believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale? Yep, because the Bible says so. If the Bible had said that Jonah had swallowed a whale, I'd believe that if the Bible said it. Say, do you really believe that Moses actually got water out of a rock in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 11? Yep, because the Bible says so. Say, do you really believe that the Red Sea was parted and the Jews crossed over on dry ground? Are you ready? Yep, because the Bible says so. Say, do you really believe that the walls of Jericho fell flat? I mean flat. I mean down flat, flat, flat. Yep, because the Bible says so. Say, do you believe that Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 men plus women and children? Yep, because the Bible says so. Do you need God to do something supernatural today? Do you need God to do something miraculous, something outside of nature's realm, something that would be unexplainable? Do you need God to do that which that man could not comprehend or accomplish? Do you want, do you need for God to do something that would be explained only by a God in heaven? Now, I'm not saying it's God's will for everyone to have a miracle. We'll not have a healing line this morning, but we will have a salvation line. We'll not be selling prayer cloths this morning, but we will be passing the offering plate. We'll not see a statue cry, but we will see people weep. We'll not raise anyone from the dead this morning, but I will wake up those who sleep like they're dead. We'll not heal any hangnails today, but we will drive a nail of truth home that we can hang our lives on. We'll not jump pews and talk like turkeys and run to the wall, but we will talk sense. Now, our God is still a miracle-working God. Now, it's not God's fault that miracles go unclaimed. It's not God's fault that miracles go undone or miracles go unperformed. Now, listen carefully. God can do anything. Say that with me. God can do anything. Say it again. God can do anything. Now, write Matthew 17, 20 down, then look at me. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. That's Matthew 17, 20. Are you ready? Matthew 19, 26. Jot that down. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Write this down. Luke 1, 37. With God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. How about this one? Luke 18, 27. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, there are 8 miracles in the book of John, 7 before Jesus' crucifixion and 1 after. In John 6, in Matthew 14, Mark 6, and Luke 9, the best known miracle, and we read a moment ago, that is mentioned there. 2 reasons. It involved the most people, and it's in all 4 Gospels. Now, let me give you some truths from this miracle and find out if you're a candidate for a miracle. Are you ready? Number 1, face your problem. Face your problem. Now, it's interesting in Mark chapter 6. In fact, if you'll go back to Mark chapter 6, it's interesting in verse 35. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past." Now, here, these folks are. They're hungry. They have no food. Verse 36, what was their answer? Send them away. Now, underline that. Send them away. Now, if they had obeyed that, there'd have been no miracle. Is anybody listening to me? Don't chew on your fingernails now. I'm trying to help you. Send them away. Send them away. Now, if they had listened to the disciples, if Jesus listened to them, guess what? There'd have been no miracle. Are you a candidate for a miracle? Then listen carefully. Don't run. Don't run. Running away, not facing the problem, you eliminate yourself as being a candidate for a miracle. They said, send them away. We've got a problem, so send them away. Ladies and gentlemen, that's never the answer. Financial problems, face it, tackle it, go after it, and say, this is not going to get the better of me. I'm going to get the better of it. And you watch, you are a candidate for a miracle. Physical problems, face it. Go after it. Do what you've got to do. You do everything within your power with what you have, and you watch. You'll become a candidate for a miracle. Emotional problems, face it. Tackle it. Get control of yourself. Get some stability in your mind and in your emotions, and you watch God do a miracle. Family problems, face it. Don't run from it. You stick there. You don't run from it. Why? What was the disciples' answer? Send them away. That's it. Send them away. We got a problem. Let's run from it. That's not the answer. The answer is you face it. You tackle it. You go after it. You solve it. Don't become a pawn in the hand of Satan. Don't lose the miracle. And some of you are going to get to heaven and find out God had a miracle for you, but you ran from it. You tucked tail and you ran. What did the disciples say? Send them away. Send them away. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not what Jesus had in mind. Jesus said, bring them to me. Don't send them away. Bring them to me. We've got a problem. I'm a miracle worker. You got a problem? Bring it to me. What we're doing? We're running is not the answer. Lying to yourself is not the answer. Blaming others is not the answer. Well, I flunked that class because the teacher doesn't like me. Now, she doesn't like you because teachers are paid not to like students. Now, you might as well get that. So they're paid not to like you. So just get that out of the way. Just like God created mother-in-laws for a reason. But now, somewhere in here, you need to understand, you will lose the miracle in your life if you listen to these backslidden disciples and say, send them away. Send them away. We got a problem. We got so many people here. We don't have enough food. What's the answer? Times are, send them away. We don't have the answer here. Send them away. Don't run. Don't run. You face what you've got to face. Look at Mark chapter 9 and those two verses we read, verse 20. Jesus saying to them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Now, one is a head and heart, the other's action. He said, I believe with my head, I believe it with my heart, but there's got to be some action. I've got to overcome with my unbelief, my doubt, by action. Now, you don't run from it. Face that obstacle. Face your problem. Face your stubbornness. Face your financial setback. Face your problem. Don't run from it. You stick in there. You hang in there. Send them away. That's not the answer. Run away. That's not the answer. Face it. Now you become a candidate for a miracle. Number two, focus on what you have. Focus on what you have. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 37, he said in verse 36, the disciples said, send them away that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and they buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Verse 37, he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. He said, let's focus on what we have here. Let's focus what's in our hand here. Let's don't just run away. Let's focus what we have. Wake up, wake up. Let's focus on what we have. So look what he said. Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? They're still thinking about running. But wait a minute, verse 38. He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. Now, get this. Focus on what you had. Moses had a rod. Dorcas had a needle. Samson had a jawbone. Elisha had that mantle from Elijah. What do you have? Ladies and gentlemen, don't you understand that if you want to be a candidate for a miracle, you cannot send them away? That's not the answer. Face it, that's the answer. Tackle it, that's the answer. All over America, we got preachers running from church to church hoping to find success in the ministry when the truth is the problems that have come their way, God sent them there to solve it. God sent them there to stay. God said, and same thing with you. God, if every member of independent fundamental Baptist churches in America would stay where they are, fight the battles where they are, you'd see victory begin to come. Ladies and gentlemen, please, I beg you this way. Let's don't run. When financial problems come, don't run. You need a miracle? I need a miracle? What are we going to do? Send them away? No, that's not the answer. Focus on what you have. You don't have enough to take care of everybody else's needs, but you do have something. Hey, wake up. You don't have enough to give for the give it all this morning, but you have something. You have something. You're a candidate for a miracle. You know, some of you slay me. You want God to perform a miracle, but you don't want to do nothing. You don't want to give up anything. And here you say, send him away. No, that's not the answer. Don't run. Look, don't divorce him. Don't divorce her. Shoot her, but don't divorce her. Don't do that. What in the world is the matter with you? That's not the answer. You decide right now that you're not going to run. You got financial problems. Maybe you need a budget. Gasp. Maybe you need to take control of your finances. Maybe that's what you need. Maybe there's something here. Fella, you're not doing right that's causing your marriage to be so rocky and so such a horrible thing to you. Maybe, could it be that maybe you as a husband are not doing what you're supposed to do? Could it be that maybe you as a wife are not doing what you're supposed to do? The answer's not running and getting another problem. You get you another husband, you got another problem. You get you another wife, now you got another problem. That's not the answer. You quit your job to go for what you think is a better job with more money. If you're not paying your bills, your budget's not, if you don't have a budget, I don't care how much money you make, you're going to spend all of it. Somebody help me now. I'm saying, they say, send him away. Jesus said, don't do that. Don't run. Focus on what you have. Focus on, isn't it ironic? A farmer would be crazy to sell all his corn crop and not keep some seed back for planting. Then he'd really be crazy not to plant that seed. No seed, no crop. No planting, no crop. You don't give it all, and then you wonder why God's not blessing. You got to give it up. And that's what he's saying. You're a candidate for a miracle? Then what you better do is don't run. Face your problem. Face your problem. Let God perform a miracle with your problem. Then number two, focus on what you have. Focus on what you have. And then number three, forsake all to Jesus. Forsake all to Jesus. And Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Now hold it. Not one loaf, but all five. Not two loaves, but all five. Not three loaves, but all five. Not four loaves, but all five. Now, look at Mark chapter 6 and verse 41. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 41, verse 41, and when he had taken the five loaves and two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the two fishes divided he among them all, and they did all eat and were filled. In fact, there was so much food there that 12 baskets left over. The little lad that gave the five loaves and two fishes, he took a bunch of stuff home. He had leftovers, you see. It's ironic, isn't it? We want to get the harvest in, but we don't want to plant the seed. Forsake all, forsake all, forsake all, forsake all. Now, I said, number one, what you better do is face your problem. Are you a candidate for a miracle? Then are you facing your problem? If you're facing your problem and going after it, not just heart and head, but action, you're a candidate for a miracle. Are you focusing on what you have? Are you focusing on what you have? Are you giving what you have to Christ? Are you giving it to Christ? Look, the one that prayed for it to be multiplied was Jesus Christ. Amen. If I'm going to do it, Brother Bob, I'm going to give my life to Christ. Amen. Brother Walters, I'm going to give my life to Christ. I'm going to give my finances to Christ. I'm going to give my wife to Christ. I'm going to give my mother-in-law to the devil. I'm going to give, what did I say? I am going to give to the Lord. I'm going to give it to him. I decided I'm not going to take my marriage and try to run it myself. I need to give it to Christ. I can't take my child rearing of my children on my own. I've got to give it to Christ. I can't take my finances and try to figure it out on my own. I've got to give it to Christ. Is anybody listening to me this morning? You want a miracle? You want to be a candidate for a miracle? Then you better face the problem that you have. Send them away. That's the world's answer. That's the disciples' answer. But that's not Jesus' answer. Jesus' answer is you face this thing. You face this thing. You face. Everybody stand up. I'm not going to preach you while you're sleeping. Now, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to waste my time with you sitting out there. And when you start snoring, I get worried. Now, sit down and stay awake. I'm preaching. I'm trying to help you this morning. Somebody say amen to me. I'm trying. Am I preaching the truth or not? All right. That I know what it is. You didn't participate in the give it all, did you? But now I'm just saying, the disciple says, send them away. That's not the answer. Boy, you say, I've come to Bible college and I had nothing but trouble since I got here. Well, what'd you expect? That just means you're in the right place doing the right thing. That means you got to take what you have and give it to Christ and let him perform a miracle. Come on, help me. I went to Hiles Anderson College. I left a job. Now you understand, this is back in the early 1971, 72. I was making $25,000 a year back in 71 and 72 for General Motors, plus got Class A discounts on cars, and I can't begin to tell you the savings that working at that time for General Motors for being employed there. I left that to stock shelves for $2.65 an hour at Jewel Food Store. There's a Jewel Food Store. Yeah, Jewel Food Store, $2.60. Thank God for you women. You women go around, you pick something up. No, I don't want that. And you put it down. You don't take it back. Come on, Super One, help me. You don't take it back. You just, wherever you are, you just drop it right there. But thank God you did, because I had a job. I'd go around at night, take all the Cheerios over in the potato section, take them back to the Cheerios section. But listen, it was an absolute miracle that our family made it through those days. It's a miracle. And I look back now, there's no way on pen to paper how it could have happened. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven. And we faced what we had to face. We didn't run. We didn't tuck tail and run. And we even smiled. We even laughed. We even enjoyed ourselves. It wasn't a pity party like some of you look now. No, it wasn't a pity party. We were saved. We're on our way to heaven. We're giving our life to Christ. It was exciting, troublesome, hard days, but it was exciting because I watched God perform a miracle that just should not have happened, but it did. May I say to you that this church is a miracle. The fact that this church is existing with all the battles and that this church and all the shots she's taken, to think this church is still going and doing what she's doing today, I thank God for it. But I'm telling you right now, we are not about to tuck tail and run. We are send them away. That's not the answer. Never has been the answer. And it will not work. Don't care who you are. You stay in the battle. You stay loyal. You stay faithful. Don't you tuck tail and run. Then you focus on what you have. Then you forsake all to Jesus. May I say quickly, number four, follow his instructions. You first of all, send them away. Nope, that's not the answer. You face what you're facing. Then what do? You focus on what you have. Then what do? Give it all to Christ. Give what you have to Christ. Give him your marriage. Give him your children. He knows more what to do with it than you do. Give him your finances. Let him take your finance. Then what? Follow his instruction. Now here's what he did. He told them to sit down in company of 50s. Silly, but logic is not faith. Success is fueled by faith, not fact or logic. So he sent them down in companies of 50s. What, five fishes? Five loaves? Two fishes? What? Yeah, sent them down in companies of 50. Now here's what happened. They sat down in companies of 50. And Jesus then took what they had. He raised it up. He asked God to bless it. God blessed it. Then he started distributing. And he kept on distributing. 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 Nobody excited this morning, are you? Kept on distributing. Kept on distributing. Kept on giving. Kept on giving. Isn't that what God's done to you? He's kept on giving and kept on giving and kept on giving and kept on giving, and you're griping. Kept on giving and 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 kept on giving. Why? Because God said, if you will not run, you're a candidate for a miracle. If you'll focus on what you have, you're a candidate for a miracle. If you'll give it all to me, I'll take it. Ask the Father to bless it, and I'll keep on giving and 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 keep on giving. God will make sure the barrel never runs out. God will make sure that all of it's there, and he'll keep on giving and keep on giving and keep on giving. But you're not a candidate for a miracle when you run. You're not a candidate for a miracle when you don't take control of what you have. You're not a candidate for a miracle if you don't give it all to Christ. You're not a candidate for a miracle if you don't follow his instructions. May I say, the impossible is accomplished one step at a time. The impossible is accomplished one step at a time. This church just didn't wake up running the crowds that we run now. It was one step at a time, one step at a time. You've got the place where you need a miracle? Then let me tell you something. Don't you run. Send them away. No, that's not the answer. You face it. Face it with a smile on your face. Put a smile on your face. You're not going to hell. Why do you look like you're going to hell? You're not. Tell your face you're saved. Look in a mirror and say, you don't look like it, pal, but you really are saved. Man, your frown may cause people to want to go to hell. Put a smile on your face. Thank God you're saved. You don't have a real problem. Write this down. I'll help you. Write down real problem. Write that down. Everybody, everybody, everybody. Real problem. And then next to that, write hell. That's a real problem. Going to hell forever is a real problem. The fact your car isn't running is not a real problem. The fact you've got health issues this morning is not a real problem. The fact you've got a mother-in-law is a real problem. No. So somewhere in here, what you're going to do, a real problem is, how many are saved? Okay, do you realize you don't have a real problem? You're going to heaven a few more days and you're going to be there. I'm not predicting anything here, but I'm just simply saying, look, okay, in that case, then you say, well, I still need a miracle. Okay, good. Then why don't you do this? Why don't you send them away? Nope. Why don't you face your problem? Why don't you focus on what you have? Why don't you give it to Christ? Why don't you follow his minute instructions in detail? Follow it in detail. Come back to church tonight. Come back Wednesday night, Bible study. We're still having it, folks. Still going soul winning. And participate. Give what you have. And then what happens? Follow his instructions. Less detail. And then step by step by step. And one day you'll wake up and say, How did this happen? It happened, and it's a miracle because you are a candidate for a miracle. Make sure you are. Please make sure you are, because this is so important. Now let me tell you about the greatest miracle of all. It's called the new birth. It's called knowing for sure you're going to heaven when you die. You know, by the looks on some of your faces, you need to get saved this morning. But look, I thank God that there's a heaven. I'm glad that heaven's not like Longview, Texas. I'm glad that heaven's not like East Texas. I'm so glad that somebody came by and gave me the gospel. The greatest miracle of all is your new birth. What a miracle. What a miracle. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed.